We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast brought to you by So Rare. I am Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire, joined on this Friday, September 24th by Jordan Cooper and Ryan Belongi to talk about tomorrow's Premier League slate. I actually had to look up the schedule, guys. I'm going to do this. Today is actually my birthday and I had to look up what the date was.
Hey, happy birthday.
Thanks.
How old?
40.
Wow, you don't look it.
Thanks. I feel 58.
You're almost catching up to me. You're almost there. You got a two.
Yeah,
and a half
I'm pretty
years.
Sure I won't actually catch up, but I think that's how ages work. But anyway, we're here to talk about Saturday's Premier League slate. This feels like the heyday classic Jordan Cooper slate. We've got Leicester City as like the best team on the slate and a whole bunch of low totals. Jordan, are you excited about this, or is the like new cash game Jordan not so excited anymore?
Well, I mean, looking at the prices on the slate, it's not as exciting as I would normally think it is.
Yeah.
I think some of these prices are a little bit inflated for what the lines are. I mean, like when we're talking about Leicester, I mean, right now, actually, Everton is slightly the biggest favorite. But I mean, we're talking about minus 157 at home, 2.5 total. Then we have Leicester minus 154 at home, 2.5 total. Then we got Watford plus 119 at home to Newcastle, 2.5 total. And then we have the West Ham is a slight road favorite, plus 127 at Leeds, and that's a 3 total. For some odd reason, like the dynamic pricing, because we don't have any of like the quote-unquote big teams on the slate, seem to have dramatically – it almost feels like Everton is overpriced and – Leicester's kind of underpriced depending on who they start if you just compare like just the betting lines, but these games are much closer than what we normally see. Like I'm not afraid to play a Burnley player or a Norwich player as much as I would be when Man City are a minus 550 favorite over someone else.
I know you read Ryan's article. What was your reaction when you saw Ryan writing about Tom Cleverley?
Well, I know that he's going to score 3.5 points now.
I don't know. I thought the worst part is that while I was editing it, it was like I saw the name and I'm like, really? And then I read it and I was like, ah, he's right. He makes sense. And I'm going to do everything I can not to do it.
I had to start with like the little caveat that I couldn't believe I was highlighting Cleverley though. So.
I thought maybe he was like 1700 and I was like, that'll make me feel better about it. But no, it wasn't. So, but Jordan, it seems like we can get every set piece taker on this slate, and given the totals, isn't that where we should just be going for cash games?
But can you get all the set piece takers?
You get most of them.
Right. Are you paying $10,700 for Andros Townsend?
Maybe not.
Do you think people will?
Yes.
Not is as he worth 10 set? I mean, we have the situation in Everton that Lucas Digne could be out for this game. They're going to be playing some, I don't know who they're going to be playing at fullback. Lucas Dean, even if he plays, like as Ryan has pointed out in his article, under Rafa now, like I don't like the fullbacks as much as when they were playing like 3-4-3 and these fullbacks were playing more as wingbacks. That like Dean's open play value is not as great as it ever was. And if he's going to be splitting set pieces also, like I know it was kind of skipping the defender, but when we're talking about these set piece taking players, I almost feel like if Dean's in and Townsend's in and Damari Gray's in, that I don't feel compelled to, in cash games at least, to have to play an Everton player at all.
That's how I felt, or at least the cheapest one, which will be, or the cheapest relative to the position, and I think that's Gray.
And that, so are you telling like me how, that you would play Damari Gray at 8,400 in cash games?
I'm saying if I was going to play an Everton guy, I just would want to play the guy who was like the cheapest for his position. And that's theoretically Gray, but I don't want to play Gray either. So yeah, I'm just saying that because I think Gray is where I would end up, then I just end up not playing Everton guys.
But to me in cash games, I think the forward slot is fairly straightforward. Fairly. I say fairly because then, I mean, there are multiple combinations.
There are plenty of options.
Yeah, there's options. But I mean, we have guys that do have higher floors, that do have, they're part to play on set pieces. But can you talk me out of just like, why can't I put in Rafinha and Bowen in that Leeds-West Ham game and not worry about the forward position?
I think the build is that it's a lot of that you can spend up because the midfield, if we can play Tom cleverly, then we have plenty of money to pay up at forward. Right?
But I think you're more likely in cash games to possibly playing forward eligible players in your midfield spots. Like yeah, there's no reason you can't play Emmanuel Dennis at 6,900. Even Rodrigo. Bamford's not in. They're probably gonna start with like Roberts up top or something. But Rodrigo is an attacking midfielder, and you could even if he makes the squad because he's gonna face a late test is a Milos Rashica, because I have no problem playing Norwich players against Everton. I just don't feel like I don't need to play a goal dependent player at a forward. I don't feel like I need to play a goal dependent player in cash games in any of my lineup slots.
Well, there are no goals expected anyway, so
well that's good. Hopefully there are. Yeah.
Do you think Rashica's popular enough that we like, do you think if people end up playing three, like Rashica, Bowen, and Rafinha, like those are the three?
I think so. I think Rodrigo has more upside. I think if I had to choose, I think like if Rashica doesn't start, like I don't mind Rodrigo. Rodrigo shoots the ball. He gets peripherals. He may not play 90, but at 5,900, like, even in the midfield spot, I don't mind playing this because it's not even a dinky-do type of slate. Like, if you're going to pay down twice at forward, but let's say Rashica and Rodrigo, like, who are you paying up at midfield? There's every midfielder that you pay up for is forward eligible. Like, Damari Gray is 8,400. Albrighton is 7,700. Tielemans is 7,400. Like, there's no, like, De Bruyne or Bruno Fernandes or anything like that. I mean, although I say that the Everton prices seem to be inflated, this is not like a tough slate from a like you could, you don't feel like icky playing, you know, punting with a $3,200 guy so you can fit in like Mohamed Salah type of slates. So I think in cash games we may see a lot more 3v3s and 4v4s possible than we would in other slates where it's most likely to be, you know, some defender and goalkeeper and everything else is the same.
Yeah, it feels like one that we would have been happily to pay, wait to overpay for like James Ward-Prowse at 9,200 or something. Like we would have just been like, yeah, no, we play him. Yep. But he's like, we don't even get that on the slate. So yeah.
Ryan, I have a question for cash games. I know we're not talking about GPPs yet.
Yeah.
Harvey Barnes and James Maddison. Like at what point do they become Ponzi schemes? At what point? Okay. At what price? Leicester's one of the biggest favorites on the slate. They play in attacking positions. They're going to be playing a team that Burnley that sits back. Would you be, I mean, it seems weird to say, Well, imagine me saying this sentence a year ago. Is it more worthy to play James Madison at 4,900 than Tom Cleverley at 5,300?
So Madison's a tough one. Madison,
but even Barnes. Barnes is only 300 more. So, like, replace that with Barnes.
I was gonna say, I think Barnes is actually easier to play than Madison.
Barnes is 700 more, but I think, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I think you can play Barnes in cash this week. I know I was all over him a couple weeks ago and he busted in 73 minutes, but since then he's played 90 twice and he's looked great. He put up 10 floor points last week. The matchup's great. And he comes with like tons of upside too that can bail out a lineup. So if we're talking about playing some of these other guys that might not necessarily have a floor, or if it's kind of a, you know, play whoever you want slate in a little, or it's in some ways, then yeah, I think you can play Barnes. Madison, that one seems risky. I mean, he doesn't do anything. He gets subbed very early. That one seems more risky. He's like, I can't believe how low his floor has gotten. I don't know what's up there. I mean,
where did he go?
Anybody with an opinion on Madison? I mean, I know the first podcast we did, I went pretty hard against Madison, and it seemed to be right so far. But I mean, Brendan Rodgers doesn't trust him. I don't know. It's not the same player since that injury.
But would you rather have for cash games? Would you rather play? I'm looking in this like this 5K ish type of range.
Mm-hmm.
We have guys like if Awobi starts as like a wing back or something. Like we have him at 4,600. We have Daniel James at 4,700 if he starts for Leeds because Harrison's out. I mean, even the guys like Suchek or Kuchka, you know, 4,100, 4,300. I mean, they provide Suchek has upside. Kuchka does shoot the ball from the back for Watford. I just think there's a lot of guys. Even Billy Gilmore, 3,800. Not a big fan of playing a Norwich player that far back. Against Everton, but it seems like there are players in the cheap range of midfield that like Andrew said, it feels like if you wanted to pay up for Townsend in your lineup, like, I mean, you can.
Yeah, you definitely can. Like with Billy Gilmore, I was going to ask you guys, you know, after Rafinha, Bowen, Cleverley, Richie, I guess those four. I mean, who's the fifth best cash play? If those are the top four, I don't know. I mean, Townsend might be, but just. You know, who's the next best cash play? As for Danny James, yeah, it seems like it depends. For me, it seems like Harrison's going to be on the bench. I think he recovered from COVID. So I would check the bench there. But like Bamford being out, that would seem to help James staying on the pitch a little longer. But if Harrison's on the bench, you got to think they make a like for like substitution there. So that seems a little bit risky. Yeah, I don't know. It's back to my question though. Who's the next best cash play?
I think the next best cash play, if he's in, you're paying a premium for him, but against Burnley, is you play Mark Albrighton.
Yeah.
You don't seem that thrilled about it. It's Burnley. Man. They give up the most crosses. He likes crossing the ball.
I know.
At pieces. Know. Why not?
Why are we pretending that Sarr is not in this group?
Yeah, okay. I mean,
like is he not better than Rafinha?
I mean, 10K for a guy with no sets. I know sets aren't everything, but he's not better than Rafinha. I mean, do you think so? I don't think so.
I think he's playable. I think he's viable. He's as viable as Townsend is. So, I mean, if you're going to play Rafinha and you're going to play, if you want to play Rafinha and Sarr, like I get that. I don't see playing Sarr over Rafinha, but I could see. I mean, I think Townsend and Sarr, even though they're pricey, I think they're viable. I mean, they're viable. I think they're just overpriced for their floors.
Yeah,
like Townsend is priced for a Monopoly.
The more we talk about it, they seem more viable because all these other options are just not great. So paying down seems more okay. That you just hate to pay 10.7 for Townsend, but I get it.
Man, Leeds have been so bad.
Yeah, you guys, I know you mentioned Dennis. I think we got to be careful if Cleverley's in. I mean, he's not going to have any sets. 7K, 6,900 seems like a lot. Might have jumped the gun on him last week. But if Cleverley's not in, then yeah, for sure.
I hate Tom Cleverley slates.
Yeah.
Like, because not only am I like, oh, do I have to play Cleverley? It's like, oh, I can't play this guy because Cleverley is in.
Like, I just saw that. Yeah, I know. I mean, that's why I said I couldn't believe I was like writing Cleverley down. But monopoly of sets, like what convinced me was almost certain monopoly of corners if he's in. And Newcastle is just like one of the best matchups that Watford can get. So like it's just kind of all going for him. I don't know. I'm seeing now that Rashica's listed as questionable. I didn't see that before. If he wasn't in, I mean, I think slight bump to Billy Gilmore. So that might mean you can pay up at forward if you do that.
I think the biggest problem, the biggest question on the slate, which doesn't matter as much at defender for cash games. Like to me, Richie is clearly the number one play at 5,400.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Question is that who else do you play? I mean, like, how much of a Ponzi scheme is Ryan Bertrand going to be?
Oh, I mean, maybe bigger than Madison. Those two right there. Yeah. I can't play Ryan Bertrand. I want to hear you guys talk about him.
Is he any different? Like I'm just taking a look at some of these defenders. Like if you're not going to pay a Fredinia, you're probably not going to play Dallas. I guess Cresswell is viable or Kufal. Do you need to pay 5K for these guys? No. But I mean, if you're going to pay 4,400 for Bertrand, like you could play Firpo if he's in at 4,300. You could, I mean, then it just seems like there's just a lot of guys. Just like they're right. All about efficiently priced. And whoever's in, if Femenia is in, you know, you could play him. If Messina's in, you could play him. I mean, it seems like you just put Danny Rose at 3,700. Ben Godfrey could play as a fullback. Who knows? 3,500. Just it seems like, other than Richie, nothing stands out as second defender.
Yeah.
That I could see in cash games that, you know, there could be 10 lineups and 10 different second defenders in that lineup, depending on the rest of your build.
Like, what are you
nothing
saying?
Stands
just
out.
Play Bertrand just in case. I mean, in case Burnley score in the fifth minute and Bertrand takes 10 corners.
I don't know. I don't even think you do it because of the 10 corners. I think you do it because of the one that could turn into an assist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what's the worst case scenario, Ryan, from a cash game perspective of you playing Bertrand? Oh, I'm losing out on the points that I could get from Kiko Femenia. I mean, like, it doesn't seem like the opportunity cost. It seems like if Bertrand was on a monopoly of set pieces for Leicester and they actually got 15 of them, he's not a $4,400 player. He should be much more. But I can't say that for any other defender other than obviously Richie. So like,
yeah,
I'm with you that it's he hasn't done much playing in that spot. But is anyone else going to do that much better?
I can't argue with you, actually. That's like a perfect point that the opportunity cost is pretty much nothing. So I guess it makes it okay.
Are you afraid of Max Aaron's outscoring him and him being 60% owned? Because like even from an ownership perspective, like other than Richie, do you expect any of these guys to garner enough ownership that you'd be scared in double ups? I mean, so like if I were to tell you that in your 100 man, whatever double up, the 114 man double up, Bertrand's going to be 60% owned. Like, why not just play Bertrand? I mean, no, I'd rather play Firpo. It's like why take the risk
that, yeah, no, you know, no, you're burned right. By that, a 60% like, player? I think what you would do, yeah, you're right. You're right about that. I think in that range, you just play Bertrand. I think, I guess the one thing, it'd be nice to find the 1,100 for Cresswell. You know, I wasn't even considering Cresswell until we started talking about all this, but, you know, maybe it's a slate where you could make up a few points on the field with Richie and Cresswell. I don't know.
I think if Cresswell was a midfielder, we'd play him because we're like, oh, midfield's so bad. Like, I think you're better off playing Cresswell and Gilmore than Bertrand and
non-cleverly.
Yeah, whoever. I'll give one. You know, I just thought of this as we're going. One little soccer take. Don't love Cresswell going up against Rafinha. He already doesn't get that high up the pitch to get involved in the attack, but I think you might see him staying back a little more, picking up a few more fouls. You know, I don't know. Sometimes it can go the opposite way, though. You see coaches like attack that side where the other team's star player is. But yeah, I don't know. Just a thought.
Does it make you think about Kufal at all on the other side?
Yeah, Kufal doesn't seem bad. Yeah, I mean, on this slate, it does make me think about him a little. Yeah.
He obviously another
just to mention it, just in case it happens tomorrow. Maybe we don't see a Yosi in that spot. Maybe we don't see Albright in that spot. Maybe we see an advanced Rica Pereira playing right wing. And then there you go. Then now you're getting a $5,000 defender that's, you know, clean sheet eligible for the biggest favorite on the slate.
Yeah.
If that shows up, then to me, the answer, I'll play Pereira over Bertrand any day. I mean, I don't care. Definitely. If he's playing advanced.
Yeah.
GPP, right? Did you say you'd play Bertrand over Pereira?
No, he said Pereira over Bertrand.
I would take Pereira in an advanced role over Bertrand.
Yep. Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
If we're going to get to GPP, Andrew, do you have something to tell us?
No.
No, you don't?
I forgot to pull it up, so no, I don't.
No?
Okay.
I thought this is the point of the podcast where you tell us about your wonderful your collectible digital items that actually have utility.
You're right. Hold on. You're right. My fault, so rare. Sponsoring the podcast and I can't even get a read right. Do you love sports collectibles or fantasy sports? Probably because you're watching this video or listening to the podcast. So Rare is blending them together to create an entirely new gaming experience. So Rare cards are officially licensed NFTs from over 180 clubs, including Real Madrid, Paris Saint-Germain, and Liverpool, and built on Ethereum. You truly own your collectibles, and you can use them to win rewards such as new cards or additional ETH. Join So Rare and connect with your favorite teams, live the game with passion, and earn weekly prizes. That's SoRare.com, SoRare.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
GPPs.
Ryan, is it just me, or do I feel like in GPPs on this four-game slate, I feel like I want to jam in six players from West Ham Leeds?
I feel the same way, yeah.
Like I feel like out of all these games, that's the game that's more likely to go 4-3.
Well, the odds agree.
Well, yeah, from the over-under perspective, yes. But I'm just talking about the pricing on Leeds, especially with Bamford out, like playing Rafinha, playing Rodrigo, playing Matthias Click, playing Firpo, playing any of the guys. On the West Ham side, it's a little bit more pricey, but I feel like you could on this slate. You could pair up, you know, Bowen and Antonio. You could play Fornals. You could play Baram. I mean, Baram is not going to be much owned. Suchek out of the back. Just seems like everything fits together that none of the other games feel as if I want to play both sides. It's like if I play Everton, it's going to be Everton with no Norwich. If I play Leicester, it's going to be I'm not going to play Ashley Barnes with them. Newcastle Watford is the closest. But I don't necessarily trust Newcastle all that much. I'd much rather just play like four Watford players and including the goalkeeper and play for a Watford 2-0 win. But this West Ham Leeds game just I feel like if Leeds goes down, West Ham attack, the game gets even more open than it should be. And it's already going to start open and vice versa. That no matter, like, as long as there's an early score, this game could go nuts.
Do you think it's going to be very popular?
No, I think it's not going to be not popular. I think Rafinha is going to get ownership. I think Bowen's going to get ownership. Antonio will be owned, but I think you'll see more ownership on Vardy than you will on Antonio. Really? I think you'll see more ownership on Sarr than on Antonio. I think these West Ham guys like Benrahma and Fornals are like in the range where it's like, why aren't I playing Leicester players? Why aren't I playing Watford? Why aren't I playing Everton? I see Solomon Rondon being more owned than Antonio. And for the price and the goal scoring odds, that's probably correct to do. I just think that people will play the Townsend plus Rondon combination more so than they'll play the Bowen Antonio combination. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, Antonio has that FPPG thing that says 25.4, so that may, you know, some of the casual people.
Honestly, that probably adds 10% to his ownership in the main GPP.
It's wild.
I know, I'm probably exaggerating, but it definitely adds some. No, this game, yeah, it's definitely the best target. You know, of course, it has the highest total, but just the way these teams play, we always like to play Leeds. They're up and down the field creating chances, but West Ham too, especially this season. Two recent games against Manchester United were like that. Yeah, if this game gets an early goal, it's just going to go for 90 minutes. It's tough to really see that in these other games. I think there are things you can do. I mean, it's a little, you know, obviously it's a stretch, but, you know, you mentioned Leicester's a pretty good target. But the other side, Burnley, doesn't look great. But Ashley Barnes is 4K. I mean,
yeah, well, I played him last week and I got about 2 points from him.
Yeah.
He might be a bigger underdog.
Great about it, but it's not the worst thing.
Ryan, my favorite forward on the slate when it comes to goal scoring odds versus price.
Yeah.
Josh King, 5,300.
Yeah, I think he's mine too.
Plus 190 to score. You could pair him with anyone. I mean, at 5,300 forward eligible, you pair him with Dennis. You could pair him with Sarr. You could pair him with Cleverley. You could pair him with Danny Rose. He's a piece that you could build around all the, I mean, you could play four of those guys together. I mean, it's like for Josh King's goal scoring odds, like he fits better with Watford players than Rondon fits better with Everton players. Because who are you playing? If you play Rondon and you want to play two other Everton players, like you're paying through the nose for that. I mean,
yeah.
Like
unless who you play like, I mean, Alex Iwobi.
Right.
But yeah, that doesn't feel great. I don't want to play Townsend, Iwobi, Rondon. I mean,
you're not winning thousands of dollars with that combo.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Josh King. Watford have a lot of forwards. Not that that matters, but like, you know, he did play 90 last game. That was encouraging. I feel like, you know, someone a little less popular, you know, I almost don't even want to bring this guy up, but there's not much else to talk about, but it's a guy that's treated me well and he's cheap too in the same game. And that's Joe Linton. I mean, he's going to play 90 minutes again with Callum Wilson out, playing Matt Ritchie. I mean, it just kind of makes sense. They try to put balls on Joe Linton's head. It's a cheap price. I mean, how bad can it be rostering a center forward against Watford? So I don't really mind that one either as a run back if you're playing Watford guys, pairing with Richie. But yeah.
There's always Pookie, right? There's always Pookie. I don't feel like this is a Pookie slate.
You're the Pookie whisperer, so I was going to let you talk about Pookie. I mean, I just have a tough time rostering Pookie, but he's been doing it.
Well, but his goal scoring odds are actually much lower than they have been. Plus 210 against Everton. Like, to me, I think the most interesting, I know we talked about these two guys before and their Ponzi schemes, it seems like. If you were to play a lineup, I think Vardy is going to be heavily owned in GPP.
Mm-hmm.
Right, 9,600, and the price isn't prohibitive because you could find a way to find. I mean, this isn't hard. Mm-hmm. Not playing Vardy in the lineup and playing a like whoever the front three for Leicester is, playing all three of them. So playing a like if it's Madison, Barnes, Ayoze, just playing all three. Like play for Leicester getting a 3-0 game where Vardy actually doesn't make the score sheet at all. And I think these guys together are going to be combined lower owned than they. I think a lot of people with Vardy lineups will have one of them. So they'll pair Madison plus Vardy or Barnes plus Vardy, Bertrand plus Vardy, like that type of lineup. I think like if you want the quote leverage off of like maybe a 35 to 40% owned Jamie Vardy, it's like you could still play Leicester, just hope that Vardy isn't the one with the goals.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree. We kind of touched on it. I'm going to ride with him again. He's like my favorite GPP play again, but I don't see how Harvey Barnes isn't more popular. And he's not like last slate when it was like this, he was around 20%. I don't know if he's something like that again. Yeah, I like those Leicester guys, but I especially like Barnes. He's going to do better for us this time.
Play Harvey Barnes with Ashley Barnes.
Yeah, I mean, you could. Again, that an early goal in that Burnley game would be great for Leicester, but an early Burnley goal. Like you said, though, I don't think you need to do that because those Leicester guys are cheap. I mean, Madison's cheap. Barnes is cheap, especially if you don't play Vardy. I tend to not play chalky Vardy. So I like that route. Yeah.
You said before that you guys didn't think this West Ham Leeds game would be that popular.
Yeah.
But then we're also talking about how nobody's going to play Leicester except for Vardy. And I guess like Bertrand too. But like if you're not playing anyone else from Leicester and the Everton pieces are overpriced, doesn't that just push all of us to Leicester West Ham? I mean, excuse me, Leeds West Ham?
Yeah. I mean, so no. Like,
I didn't think they were going to be as low owned as you guys thought.
Yeah.
It's more of the combination. It's to me, it's not the individual players. It's the combination. I think if you're going to play a three-man combination, I think number one is going to be Leicester. I think number two is going to be
three, though.
You'd play Barnes, Vardy, and Bertrand.
Bertrand? Okay.
Right. Then Everton, if Dean's in, people still play Dean regardless. So it's going to be Dina, Townsend, Rondon, or something like that. And that'll be a three-man combination there. Like, on Leeds, it'll be Rafinha, then Hood. Like, the problem is that I think Rafinha will be well-owned. I think Bowen will be well-owned. Antonio will get ownership also. But without Bamford there in the Leeds lineup, it's just who are the other two guys? Like, there's a lot of combinations of them. So I don't see Rodrigo getting 30% ownership. I don't see Tyler Roberts getting 30% or Click or James or any of these guys. Then people may have combinations of them. And then you have on the West Ham side, if people are going to play people, it's going to be Bowen and Antonio and mm-hmm. Cresswell.
And Cresswell.
Right? Right. But who touches Benrahma or Fornals on most of these slates? Rarely ever. So it'll play like two or three guys from each side of this game. I think you're unique enough that even though individual pieces may be owned, like playing for that 3-3-4-3 type of game is not as much owned as some of these other, as even Watford. Because I think Watford, it's very easy to play Sar, King, Dennis, and Cleverley, and Rowe. Like you play five guys from Watford and feel kind of comfortable and go, okay, I hope Watford wins 3-0 because they're priced the way they are. Sar will be owned. Cleverley will be owned. The fullbacks will get at least doubled to 10% plus ownership. So yes, yeah. I think you're right, and like the main pieces of Leeds and West Ham will generate ownership. I've never said that, but I just think the combinations of them will be less when it comes to a line. It's only a 4-game slate. There's only so much you could do.
Yeah, I guess I looked at it that I think the combination of Bowen, Antonio, and Cresswell, or Bowen, Antonio, and Rafinha even, is much more than Townsend, Rondon, and Dina, or whoever.
Right, but you don't have to play those three play. You don't have to play it that way.
No, but I think those are the three that you go for. Like, if you're not going to play Leicester, you go straight to West Ham and Rafinha.
Yeah. I mean, I like what Jordan said way back. I pairing Rafinha with Rodrigo, for instance, and you running it back with Benrahma or Fornals. Like, yeah, there's pieces in that game that won't be popular.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can do it.
Yeah. No one ever plays Fornals except Ryan.
No one ever plays Fornals. Yeah. This should be a good slate for him. Especially if people aren't going to play him, and that game's like by far the best target, with Antonio back as well. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm struggling to find other ways that I want to go.
Like, we're obviously not going with Burnley stacks.
No, these other Leicester pieces, like you mentioned, Al Brighton. So yeah, I was ready to jump all over Al Brighton, you know, when he's getting 10 plus crosses a game. And not that this matters too much, but I rostered him midweek on, like, I went like all in on him in there was a EFL Cup slate, Leicester against Millwall. Leicester had zero corners and Al Brighton finished with zero crosses. Again, not that that really matters, but it's just turning me off of him a little. Tielemans is an interesting one, even for GPPs, just because, you know, I mentioned it in my article, but didn't go into specifics, that sort of like we talked about with Paul Pogba, that his open play value can vary wildly. Last week, I mean, he crushed 5 shots, 8 crosses, and it has to do with, I think the best way to explain it is when he's the fourth furthest forward, that's when I want to play him. So like last week, it was because Leicester started Ndidi and Soumare. And so that means, you know, there was 2 people behind Tielemans and 3 ahead of him. So he's the fourth furthest forward. It also happens when they play wingbacks or 5 at the back with Ndidi. You know, there'll be a front 3 and then Tielemans will be the next guy. I like him in those spots. When he's fifth or sitting back with Ndidi, that's when, you know, he doesn't do much. So just something to look for.
They seem so much better when they have 2 behind him anyway.
They do, man. I'm such a big Tielemans fan. I mean, you know he's getting a move to Barcelona or something soon. Yeah, so that would be nice, you know. Jordan mentioned, you never know, Ricardo Pereira could move up. They play different formations all the time. Like we say, you know, these slates get decided the hour before lock when you look at formations and make decisions then. So keep an eye on Leicester's.
I mean, we have to keep an eye on a lot of them. I mean, a lot of these starters are questionable. I mean, right on the Roto-Grinders cheat sheet, which you can get if you're a Roto-Grinder subscriber, go to rotowire.com/soccer trial to go check it out. For what, 10 days, 7 days, some amount of time. No credit card required.
10, yeah.
But it, like, Dean questionable, Rzeczka questionable, Rafinha questionable, right? It's like all the people we want to play are questionable, right? Brownhill, questionable, right? So, yeah. So, I mean, we may be looking at an Everton lineup where we're more interested in playing depending on how they set up. Mm-hmm. We may be looking at a Leeds lineup that – like, if Rafinha's not in, like, now what do we do?
I mean, he's going to be in, though. Yeah, you're right, though. These lineups are up in the air. But, like, who specifically? I mean, I'm...
Daniel James?
Yeah. Daniel James is playable, definitely. That price is cheap. That game's great. And I kind of don't think people are really going to play him. Again, I'll look who's on the bench.
What do you think happens if Rafinha it actually doesn't start?
Okay.
I think a lot of people
play. What's going to happen with lead set pieces?
I think a lot of people play Rodrigo and Stuart Dallas takes them all.
Yeah. Stuart Dallas would become a pretty nice play. I guess we didn't even mention him at defender, but he lines up at all different positions. It wouldn't be the worst thing if you like the position Dallas is in to use him at defender.
And we may also see Calvin Phillips as a central defender.
Yeah.
So make sure to check the formation. So
one thing I noticed about that game, about that Leeds-West Ham game, right now it's Leeds plus 222 and West Ham plus 125. When I looked a few days ago, it was much closer. I believe it was like plus 180, plus 170. So that line moved quite a bit. I don't know if that's because Bamford got ruled out. I would assume that has something to do with it, but just kind of interesting.
Right. Leeds opened as the favorite, home favorite, okay, at plus 150. And based on the line movement that I see here, yeah, this has to be the Bamford.
Yeah.
Like when the press conference and he's out.
I started to think that maybe you knew something about Rafinha that I didn't. Maybe it was Rafinha being out, but not.
No, if anything, that line movement would happen like an hour before lock. That would happen at like 8 in the morning or something Eastern time. Like sometimes there's some insider and something, and then the line kind of moves weirdly because of that. But it wouldn't be this early.
Okay, so I found a run back for the, if you play in Leicester on Burnley. Now I've been waiting to play this guy at defender, but DraftKings did move him to midfield. Their big signing, Maxwell Cornet, 4,100, put up 7.5 floor points in 33 minutes. I mean, I've seen some places that have him in the expected lineup. I don't see how Burnley doesn't start a player like that, but yeah, you could run back Leicester with him.
Assuming he starts. It seems weird for me to say that Maxwell Cornet is on Burnley and Brownhill and Gudmundsson start over him. I mean,
right.
It seems like why, like, it almost feels like he would be their best player regardless of position.
Right. Yeah.
Sean Dyche doesn't know what to do with a player that good is the problem.
Yeah. I was surprised too that it's sort of taken him this long, but yeah. Burnley just likes to use the same lineup every single game. But you got to figure he's going to be in there at some point as a regular starter.
I think so. Yeah. We almost finished without talking about goalie, but on this slate, I think it's whoever fits at the end.
Me too.
I don't think there's going to be any like popular.
Me neither.
Goalie. I don't see how, because I could easily see that. Okay, you're not playing any Leicester in your lineup, so you play Pope, and you're not playing any Everton, you play Krul. If you're not playing any Watford, you play Darlow. I mean, like, to me,
you can make an argument for anybody.
Right. To me, the goalkeepers that I actually probably more avoiding are Fabianski and Meslier. Right. Like, yeah. If I'm expecting that game to be back and forth and multiple goals, like it's kind of like that mid-range I'm less likely to play.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, writing my article was like the toughest goalkeeper section. I mean, I started with just play whoever you want, basically. I had to use the Jordan line because, yeah, I mean, like you said, Leicester and Everton are priced like they're Man City. So, I mean, fine, they have 40% clean sheet odds, but I don't really want to do that. You can. Meslier and Fabianski doesn't seem like the game for keeper. Yeah, so just play whoever you don't have, you know, attacking players opposite that keeper.
I think you could make the argument that Meslier and Fabianski have the highest save upside, though.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. You know,
so like I said, it's so stupid. All 8 of them are in play.
You're right. If you're not playing West Ham Leeds or one side of that game, that keeper absolutely makes sense.
You can say that over any keeper. We come back to the same points. Like any keeper has save upside, right? You pay down for the ones, and as long as you don't have attackers against your goalkeeper, then that's it. So you can make a case for any of them.
Or just play the guy against your attackers, and it doesn't even matter.
Oh, sometimes that doesn't matter either, right?
Maybe we should just I should just play that section at every podcast. And we're just like, and here's a message from us about goalies. And it's just play whoever you want. This guy's good. This guy's not, but he's fine if you want.
But you share who your goalkeeper is in the RotoWire Discord.
That's right.
If anybody wants to join that Discord chat, you can just go to rotowire.com/chat. It's open for all subscribers. And like Jordan said, I actually don't give it away. Somebody has to ask. But as soon as somebody asks, I'm willing to share it. So you know exactly which goalkeeper to fade. Frankly, you could just stack the attackers against that goalkeeper. Still burned from that Adon -8, I think I had in Champions League the other day, seconds after I said I had him. But if anybody has any follow-up questions for Jordan or Ryan, you can find them on Twitter at BlenderHead, that's BlenderHD, and at Ryan Belongi, respectively. You can find me at RotoWire Andrew. Like I said, open available in that RotoWire Discord chat. If you are not a subscriber and like to join, just go to rotowire.com/soccer trial. Gets you 10 free days to the site. No credit card required. Gets you access actually to the entire site, not just our soccer stuff. So definitely check that out. If you're watching on YouTube, if you could please hit the like button below if you've enjoyed it. If you've watched this long and haven't enjoyed it, my gosh, why are you still here? But also feel free to subscribe to the channel to get notified for all the videos that we post. And if you're listening to the audio version of this, if you could please just rate and review it wherever you listen. Jordan and Ryan, thank you for that, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, Andrew.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.